So as you guys know, last Sunday after the service, we as the eldership, we headed out down to Ocean City and we had our annual elders retreat. And man, I just want to give God some glory. Is that all right with you guys? Okay. I'll take your silence as approval. Okay. All right. All right. Leading up to this week, and usually we generally try to get away as soon as the beginning of the new year as we possibly can, but there were just circumstances that had arisen, work situations and various things that we were dealing with that we just weren't able to go. So God sovereignly ordained it that we would go away this past Sunday, Valentine's Day, and we stayed down there until Tuesday. But man, the stuff that we were up against in trying to get down there, leading up to it, the Hinton household was just racked with illnesses. Any of you who have small children, you know the game that happens. You get one of them get sick, or you see one of their friends get sick, and you're like, you want the Tyvek suit, like the quarantine bubble, because you know that as soon as one of them gets it, it's just a game of hot potato between them. And the Hintons were racked with that. We all were kind of dealing with various health issues and stuff like that. Last Sunday, the day that we were supposed to leave, Lisa and I and the kids, we got up Sunday morning, and if you remember, last Sunday was bitter, bitter, freezing cold. Well, we all got up, we took our showers as normal, we left for church, and we came here, and the pipes were frozen. So we just laid that before God, and God was so gracious by the end of service. The water was flowing once again, so we were happy. We were ready to go, and we had this little window of time where we were going to get home, get things packed up, get the kids where they were supposed to be, and then head back out the door. Well, we go home, and all of a sudden, mine's like, uh-oh, no water. Well, while we were at church, apparently the wind had picked up, and it knocked the crawlspace door down. It blew so hard, it blew the crawlspace door down. Air got under my house, and everything was frozen up solid. So I went around quickly and, you know, patched up all the holes, made sure everything was sealed up tight. I'm like, oh, it'll be fine. We'll just let it'll thaw out. And Mary Lou, who was taking one of the many shifts with her kids, is like, don't worry about it. We got this covered, head on out. So we would call every time we had a little break in our discussion or prayer and check in. And like, nope, still no water. Nope, still no water. And we're like, dude. So finally I reached out to Dennis. I'm like, man, could you go over there and just put some eyes on it and see what's going on, maybe put a heater under the house? And he sends me back this picture with this giant iceberg under my house. And he says, bro, I think it might be a busted pipe. So I'm like, but here's the deal. Here's the thing, you know. When I showed up Sunday morning and the pipes were frozen, man, instantly my spirit was just like, you got to be kidding me, man. I don't have time for this. I don't have the energy for this. And Dennis sent me that picture, and I was like, okay. This is what it is, you know. And we just saw this opposition coming up. But man, I had such a peace about the entire thing. Mary Lou and Dennis and everyone else who was kind of rotating through our house said, don't worry about it. We've got this covered. Now, any of you who own a home, you know that when pipes break, that's not good. But man, that's not on your top 10 list of things, of bucket lists for your home ownership. But man, God provided such an amazing peace in the form of amazing brothers and sisters in Christ who had our backs, who made it so we never had to worry about coming home. Man, Monday, Dennis, I'm going to get Dennis in trouble, because when I saw that the pipe was broken, I said, man, we better just turn that off, turn the water off to the house. And then Charlie and Cliff, God bless them, they spent most of the day Monday over there thawing out the pipes, not knowing that Dennis had turned the water off. So we'll have a mediation and healing service for Dennis after the service. But God is so amazing and awesome, because they got over there and found it wasn't a broken pipe. In our laundry room, I had turned the sink on just to trickle to see if it would work, and it stopped. But in the process, something had happened to pull the sink out of the wall. The drain was leaking down through the floor, and that's what the water was coming from. So these guys drilled the sink to the floor, patched that up, thawed it out, and everybody had water, and everything was awesome. So praise God for that. But then we get down to the retreat, And Dave has this creeping death lung sickness. When you see Amber, his daughter, ask her to recreate some of the noises that were coming forth from Dave in his attempt to extricate this creeping death lung. So he was miserable. And we woke up Monday morning. The weather was supposed to be nice down there fairly, and we woke up to several inches of snow on the ground. Surprise! And the adversary was just so clearly trying anything and everything to prevent and distract and discourage, to derail what God had intended to take place during this weekend. But I've been doing this a while. And it was amazing that God gave me such peace and confidence that I was able to just kind of sit back and be like, really? Is that all you got? You know, and you don't want to be flippant when it comes to spiritual warfare, but man, God put us in a place of such confidence and peace that we could be like, it actually kind of fueled our zeal because we knew because of the opposition we were facing that God had something bigger and something greater that he wanted to accomplish if we would persevere. Man, is that not God's MO? We face challenges and even fiery darts from the enemy, but he is greater than all because he has already overcome the world and the wiles of the enemy. He's already given us the great comforter in his Holy Spirit to remind us of that victory when we stand before frozen pipes and we just want to shrink back. He says, no, we have overcome the world. The Holy Spirit reminds us of that victory. He also bears witness to our complete secure adoption as sons and daughters. His Holy Spirit is there to lead us in all truth and continuously call our gaze back to the cross, where every failure and sin, every shortcoming and inadequacy is swallowed up by grace. And church, there was grace present at this retreat. There was just such an overwhelming sense of unity. Even when we had to talk about hard things, and even when we wouldn't have seen exactly 1,000% eye to eye, the Holy Spirit and God's unfailing grace was there to show us where we needed to end and lay ourselves down and trust completely on the leading of His Spirit and His provision. Man, when we go to these things, I know before I was an elder, long before I was a pastor, when I first became an elder, I had no idea what took place. You know, I think people have this kind of imagery of an elders meeting or an elders retreat where people kind of sit around in the old Gregorian cloaks it's just a bunch of people sitting around, praying, talking, seeking God, eating lots of food, hacking up whatever is trapped within their bronchial tubes. But when you get into these situations, when you're talking about church life, there is so much potential for arguments and disagreements and falling outs. But man, we experienced the beauty of His presence and a peace that went so far beyond our understanding, it could not help but be called supernatural because it wasn't something that we could ever hope to manufacture. Nothing that we could ever put together in our own strength. Man, God's presence was there. All we can do in the face of that is just humbly praise Him for His love and care for us as the leadership, and by extension, His love and care for you, Shore Christian Fellowship. So we went away and we knew we had a lot of stuff to talk about. Where was God directing us as a church? And as we approached Him, truly crying out to Him for wisdom, because ours is fruitless, crying out for mercy, because even though it's fruitless, we always tend to fall back and lean on that understanding time and time again. He responded just like His word promised, liberally and without reproach. Man, God is good, church. God is so good to us. So we go away to these retreats truly seeking what God would have us do for this coming year. What is it that God wants Shore Christian Fellowship to do in 2016? Well, we went before Him, as we always do, trying to be completely, totally open and pliable to whatever it is that He desires. And we've always gone in with the mindset that if that means scrapping everything that we do, changing everything that we do and know as church, man, we'd be willing to do it out of obedience to Him. And we surrendered ourselves to that. So what we've been doing the last several years is, it's a part of looking forward to what God has for us, is taking time honestly to look back at where God has already brought us in the previous year. So we did that. And we want to ask God whether we did everything that He laid before us to His glory effectively and all those things. And we did that. And we came to the decision that, yes, there were some things that He had called us to. We did very well. But there were places where we needed improvement. We go to these things not thinking, let's have a self-party. Man, we rocked it out. No, man, we want God to show us, honestly, this is what you did well. This is what needs improvement. So with all of that in view, we started looking to God saying, how can we do those things better? And we started looking ahead. So one of the things we want to do and wanted to do was to receive God's vision and mission for SCF and then be able to bring it back and present it to you guys in a way that makes sense, obviously, because if we come back with just this rhetoric or gibberish, it's not going to be very fruitful. So we wanted to present it in a way that made sense, something that's easily conveyed so that when someone asks you, what is the mission of your church, you can also convey that thing. And ultimately, something that's measurable so that when we go away next year, we can look back again and say, God, did we accomplish everything you laid out for us to your glory? So we went to this place, we went down to Ocean City, and we have this existing mission statement, this vision statement. Go ahead and put it up there, RJ. This, you'll find this on our website, you'll find it on the e-bulletins that go out. Moving forward, we want to make this very, very prominent to where people who come will know that this is what it's all about. So this is the vision statement that we had. To grow to be a godly, Christ-centered body of believers, equipped with and grounded in truth, walking in faith by the Spirit, working powerfully in the gifts the Father has bestowed upon us, exemplifying the gospel to the communities in which we are planted, motivated to sow the seeds of salvation. So we went in knowing that's the vision statement that God had previously given to us, but we wanted to be open to the possibility that God's going to say, not anymore. We have something, there's something new, something different for you. So we spent much time in that room just praying, crying out to God, talking through this thing. And at the end of it all, we all seem to keep coming to the same conclusion. The same conclusion. And here's what we found. That while the focus that God is leading us to may look a bit different, the vision statement that He set before us those many years ago still remains true and valid. And it's something that He's calling us to do. And here's what we mean by that. This is the vision that He's laid before us. We just read that. And as we look back over the past several years as a church where God has led us and brought us, we can see within that vision statement where God has led us and at different places placed greater emphasis on different parts of that vision statement. Let's take a look at it. The first part says to grow to be a godly, Christ-centered body of believers, equipped with and grounded in truth. And when we first came back with this new vision statement, this was a great focus to us as elders, and we believe for the congregation as well. The need was great to press in and seek sound doctrine, grounded on the truth of the gospel and the complete work of God, the Word of God. All of this to overcome times where that wasn't the focus, where doctrine had been shifted or not quite as sound as we had hoped. And man, as we pressed in and we did that, we saw people grow mightily in their faith, in their doctrine, in their understanding and application of the Word of God. Just recently, just within the last couple months, we've actually seen where God put the emphasis on understanding what it meant to be a body of believers, and we pressed in and learned what it meant to be a member of the body of Christ in this local expression. So throughout the time, we've seen God put His holy spotlight on various parts of this. Look at the last part. It says, exemplifying the gospel to the communities in which we are planted, motivated to sow the seeds of salvation. We saw where God shifted that emphasis. Once we were faithful and diligent in seeking truth and becoming grounded in that truth, God very much gave us an outward focus. And we saw things like Food for Thought and Be the Church and many other similar outreaches come to fruition. And man, as we pressed into that, we saw God respond mightily. We saw and we continue to see the amazing faithfulness of God when His children respond to this kind of calling. Comfort zones stretched and even obliterated. Can I get an amen to that? Confidence in the power of the gospel unto salvation reinforced and undergirded. And our faith built as those seeds were planted in those that we ministered to. Man, God was faithful as we were faithful. And we've seen and we continue to see countless families have temporal needs met, but more important so, we have seen dozens of families receive the bread of life. And we have seen those come to salvation through that. God is good, church. And throughout this entire time, God has just been continually reinforcing to us, yes, you are a small church, you are a small body. Be faithful in the small and watch as I respond faithfully and greatly. And He's done it time and time again. So as we sought God this year, the overwhelming sense, it's funny because we would talk about this, okay, Matt, what are you receiving as you've been looking to God? And he would share, and then Dave, he would share, RJ would share, and we just kind of, it kept going around the room, and we kept coming back to this same focus, this same mindset and idea, and that is that God is calling us this year to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. And I know you're sitting there saying, well, isn't that kind of generic? Isn't that like saying, as a church, our mission is Jesus, or our mission is the Bible? Absolutely. Both of those things are true and very true. And if we forsake those, if we forsake the great commission under which every church has responsibility, but doesn't God, and have you not observed that God has specific plans and specific purposes within each expression of His local body? You look around the churches just in the area and you will see this come to light. Each church has a thing or things that God has very much put His finger on, minister in this way. And we've seen that ourselves over the past couple years, minister this way, that the poor may be fed and their souls might find truth in Christ. So even as all of us were coming into agreement, I'm like, yeah, but that's generic, man. How are we? And we just kept coming back, follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. And in my mindset, I'm like, okay, well, how am I effectively going to convey that to the congregation? And we would talk about it a while, and it would come back again, follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. And then in my flesh, and in my heart, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, man, isn't this, and wasn't this just within the past couple months a point of contention that brought separation and brought pain? And I'm like, man, the Holy Spirit kept saying, follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to get emotional here, so. Just like 2 weeks ago, a dear friend and brother in Christ came to me and he said, God gave me a word for you. He said, the reason that we're having to walk through this pain and separation the way we are right now is because God is going to give you guys a vision that some are not willing to follow. And as I thought on that and I reckoned that, I said, God, how can I deny that you're telling us follow the leading of the Holy Spirit? And even then, man, it was such a confirmation seeing my brother act in that way, following the lead of the Holy Spirit, coming out of his comfort zone saying, dude, I've got a word for you. But even then, I'm like, God, we've been up against such opposition just getting to Ocean City. There's got to be something huge and new and revolutionary, shiny and catchy. And God revealed to me, in spite of me trying to overthink it, that he had already given us this vision. He had already shown it to us. Follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. And when you look at the vision statement that we already have, the center part says, walking in faith by the Spirit, working powerfully in the gifts the Father has bestowed upon us. This vision that God gave Shore Christian Fellowship all those years back is the same vision he sets before us today. But he has, in his sovereignly, lovingly, gracious way, put his finger on this part of the vision statement, walking in faith by the Spirit, working powerfully in the gifts the Father has bestowed upon us. And he's saying, church, this is where our focus is to be this coming year. So what does that mean? What does that even mean when we say, follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, walking in faith by the Spirit, all of those things? What does it mean? What does it mean to be led by the Spirit? And what does it look like to see spiritual gifts working powerfully and properly through his children? And I am convinced that these are all things that God desires us to explore and find out together. Now, please hear me. Please hear me. This does not mean that we for any measure forsake the rest of that vision statement, the rest of those things. We can't do that. In fact, frankly, without believers who are grounded in truth, who have the pursuit of Christ and righteousness and holiness and humility at the center of their lives, we can't even begin to go down the road of understanding what the Spirit desires of us, where he is leading us, and how we are to use these amazing gifts that he has given each of us to build up this church, to equip one another for the work of showing the gospel and sowing seeds to our communities. So we can't just say, okay, this is all we're doing this year. Walking in faith by the Spirit, working powerfully in the gifts. We can't do that because we must have that anchor of the truth of God to be grounded and growing together as a body of believers. And if our focus turns to the gifts, all we're looking at is inside the church, but God is calling us to use those things to build and equip each other so that we can go out and move in the power of the gospel through his Holy Spirit. So again, what does that look like? So if we say we're going to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, does that mean that we're just going to cast off any attempts at planning, anything like that, any form of structure or anything like that? I hope I hear heads shaking violently in the room, because that actually contradicts itself. That contradicts itself, because our God is a God of order. So to go about this in a structureless, gelatinous, hippy-dippy, go-with-the-flow kind of attitude is not God-honoring. In church, it opens the door to all manner of danger. I said hippy-dippy. You can laugh at me. So church, I am convinced that we are to commit ourselves to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. And here's the deal. Here's the caveat. And these words came out from various elders during the retreat. We need to understand both the responsibility and the freedom that we have in doing so, including in exercising the gifts. That God would receive all glory through Jesus Christ, just as we've been studying in 1 Peter. We have a great responsibility to yield ourselves to the work of His Holy Spirit, to daily put to death the works of the flesh, and to allow Him to sanctify us. When you read in Galatians, it says, "And I tell you, if you walk in the Spirit, you will by no means gratify the desires of the flesh." And then you read this amazing passage in Romans 8 where it says, "If those who live by the flesh will die. But those who by the Spirit put to death the deeds of the flesh, they will live." And it says, those who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. They are children of God. And that's where the Spirit bears witness with us. And through them, we can proclaim and cry out, "Abba, Father." So the Holy Spirit has so many different parts and pieces, leads us in all truth, guides us to holiness, reminds us of the Word of God for every situation, intercedes on our behalf when we are so broken we don't even have words to pray. And we have a responsibility to follow that Spirit as it leads us through the process of sanctification and all these various things, sometimes even during or with trials and persecutions. And as we together seek Him for what this vision looks like, may we as a church continually yield ourselves to Him, that we may be changed from glory to glory, from one degree of holiness to the next, ever closer to the image of Christ. Taking very seriously the responsibility that is on us to understand what the Word of God says regarding following the Spirit and stewarding His gifts to build up and equip the church to bring Him glory. Because there is a way to go about this that does neither. Because it strays from the indisputable truth of Scripture and seeks to tickle ears and fluff egos and bolster pride. But we must seek the truth of His Word regarding these matters. So there's a responsibility on our part to know what God says about these things. There is a responsibility on our part to do these things. And that's where understanding the freedom that we have in and because of the Spirit to do these things. Church, we have been given liberty and freedom to glory in, to explore and exercise the amazing gifts that we have been given. And yes, we have a responsibility to make sure our exercising of the gifts doesn't become our chief end, that it doesn't become our only goal, because if we do, we have elevated the gifts above the giver, and God is not honored. Yes, we must look to scriptural mandate as to the proper use of those gifts within the body. And yes, we must always look to the Word of God as our complete and final authority in every and any situation. But if we go about the task of following the Spirit and learning to use His gifts with even a hint of legalism, we have succumbed to the bondage of the law and forsaken that freedom that we have out of fear. We are called to exercise these things in love, in love. There's no room for fear in these things because it says in His Word, perfect love has cast out fear. So if we are operating these things, following the Spirit's lead, seeking to understand what ours is, our spiritual gift, nurturing that and encouraging that amongst the body to see the body working the way God intended. But if we operate out of fear, we're going to end up sitting on the sidelines while the body suffers. God desires us to freely and humbly, properly understand and use these gifts in response to His leading, guiding, and prompting. We can't allow fear to hold us back, church, because the church suffers and God is not honored. Now, I understand that people may hear this and say, well, you've completely shifted your focus to the gifts. I'll encourage you to rewind this message about 15 minutes and hear my heart and hear the heart of the elders. We are not saying that the gifts are our main goal, but we understand the cruciality and the vitality that comes through a believer humbled before God, crying out to Him, God, show me how I can, with the gifts You've given me, build up my brothers and sisters in Christ and encourage them to do the same. So we believe that God is calling us to explore this together, that we might be drawn closer to the image of His Son as we continually yield our passions and desires and opinions and fears to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And the specifics of that, man, I am beyond excited to see Him reveal that to us together. Now, a big part of that, and as we look back over the past year and past several years, and we were open and honest before God, and we say, God, show us where we lack. God gave us this vision, but at the same time, He also revealed to us and has been revealing to us that we have been sorely lacking in the area of discipleship. The area of discipleship. We know we need work, and particularly in the area of the men of this church. God made it so clear and so evident to us that we were to grow in godliness and righteousness and holiness this year. And if we were going to do that, we need to step it up in growing true, genuine, meaningful, life-giving, Christ-exalting relationships that are laden with accountability and grace and prayer and all of the one another's that we see throughout Scripture when He talks about the body life of the church. So we intend to be intentional in this area this year, seeking ways that we can make this happen together. Now we desire to see this. Now here's the deal. We understand what happens on a Sunday morning. Everyone has something to do. They're rushing in, they're running late, the kids are falling to pieces or so Sunday morning is not the ideal spot for that to happen because that's where we generally have 1,000 things to do. We come in and we have things to do after church. So everything that happens here tends to be so superficial. Now we hope and our goal is to see that deepen through our compass groups. And man, God is moving through these compass groups. I can't wait about 15 years when we see all of these 3-foot people mature and grow because we take these visions seriously to follow the Holy Spirit, to be grounded in the truth, to exercise these gifts, particularly discipleship, because man, the church, we have an army upcoming that are toddlers right now. And if you had gone to a Wednesday night Bible study within the last 2 cycles, you would have experienced that greatly. So the church is growing. So God has brought increase. Even without the kids, we were at a point where we needed to birth off another compass group. And people exercising their gift of hospitality have made that a possibility. So man, I can't wait as we follow these steps. We want to see compass groups be a place where we deepen those relationships. But even then, you know that there are places to hide. When you're in the midst of 10 or 12 people with kids who are in the other room, it's easy to hide and put on that face and say, yeah, everything's good. So one of the reasons that we considered the schedule that we have with the small groups was to give an opportunity on the off weeks for you to go even deeper, to call up your brother in Christ or call up your sister in Christ and say, hey, can you come over? Let's talk, have coffee, let's pray. And you just see this thing coming from the top down. Discipleship is not an elder thing, church. It's not a pastor thing. It is a believer in Christ. Discipling is a disciple thing. So that those who are disciples would make disciples while having someone on the side to encourage in your co-laboring. So we must see that. When you look back at the early church, you just see this. This concept is foreign to us now because, as we said a couple weeks ago, we've put up these walls and we have personal space. And I have my life, you have yours, and I'll let you have access to what I deem comfortable. But when you look back at the early church, it said they had all things in common. They devoted themselves to coming together, the breaking of bread, the apostles' teaching, going house to house, living together. That was the norm. Church, we need to come back to that place where this isn't some far-out exception where we live life together, but by God's grace and by His Holy Spirit, we live life together. And men, God just, He put it on my heart that this is critical. We are wired so much differently than the women. The women can get together, have Bible study. They can cry. They can insult one another and make up all within a 30-minute sitcom period. It's just the way they're wired. But men, we have so much trouble with that. So, this might just require us as men to let down our guards and become a little bit vulnerable. But when we do, that's when the Holy Spirit is going to build those relationships and start that process of one another, where we pray for one another, confess sins to one another, live life with one another. Men, we've got to do it. And for all of us, this is going to require walking in faith by the Spirit, working powerfully in the gifts the Father has bestowed upon us. That's where God is calling us this year. And I, despite my kicking against the goads and thinking, man, we need something new and snazzy and polished, man, I am so excited to do this together with you guys. Not forsaking the rest of the vision, because if we lose sight of those things, we become closed off, internalized, and we have no impact for the kingdom. Let us do this, seeking continually to grow in our knowledge of Christ Jesus, all the while having eyes that look out with a heart like Christ, not forgetting the ministry of reconciliation that we have been called to, that we might seek and save the lost. But as we're doing that, we are humbly on our faces crying out, Holy Spirit, lead us and guide us, change us, sanctify us, and seeking Him to show us how we can serve one another in love. Now, I don't want this last section just to turn into, here's the calendar. I hate that. But I did want to share with you guys some of the things that that God has placed on our hearts. We got in this place, and as elders, you know, elders have a pretty specific job description in Scripture. The ministry of the Word and prayer. The ministry of the Word and prayer. Elders are not called to oversee administrative meetings and worry about snow shoveling and things like that. But the reality is we're in a small body and things like that have to happen. But one thing that God had just really pounded into us several years is that we must be diligent to be committed to the ministry of prayer. So just for accountability's sake, we as elders are going to start getting together way early over at Matt's house, several mornings a month, just to do that, just to be on our face before God, because we know that, you know, we get together for elders meetings once a month, whether we need to or not. I joke, we need to more, but so often those times are spent putting out fires and considering various facilities things, and God has just shown us we've got to be on our face in prayer. So we're committed to do that. As far as discipleship goes, man, you already heard the ladies' retreat is coming up in just a few weeks. And I know some people are hesitant to go away because, again, even some ladies are like, I don't want to lower my guard. I don't want to let the shields down. But you know when you do, the fruit that God brings forth through those things. So I encourage you guys, make a way to go away with the ladies on the ladies' retreat. And I know when we talk about a ladies' retreat, the men are sitting there saying, dude, where's ours? When do we get ours? And in all transparency and honestly, the past several years, God has said, no, I don't want you to do that. But man, as we sat in that place, God just laid that burden on all of our hearts, and we are working towards a men's retreat. We're hoping to get the same house with the giant game room that Dave was talking about that the ladies don't care about, but that sits right on the Miles River. But more importantly than all the perks and benefits, we want to come together and minister to one another, minister life in the Word in Christ to one another. We're hoping to do that in early September. It's kind of going to depend on the availability of the house. Something else that Matt and RJ have both really had a burden about, and they're working on getting the details all. What did I say? I missed something.
No.
Yes. Angela's favorite. And Chip's favorite. Matt and RJ both had a burden for like a father-son kind of camping trip, but not wanting to exclude those fathers who don't have sons or those who aren't fathers, because every man has a duty and a responsibility and a contribution to offer to the lives of these young men. So that's going to happen. Laugh even harder, Angela, because it's planned for April Fool's Day. Can't wait for the trickery that may come forth. Something that God has really been burdening us with as well is, you know, we're the elders, but there are many ministry leaders within the church. You have Larry and Deb, who are the children's church leader, RJ, CJ, the worship leader, Stephanie and Charlie, small group leaders, as well as after service meal leaders, and many people have various things, but we've never actually had the opportunity to just sit down as a leadership team and just talk with one another, pray with one another, see what people need as far as their ministry and try to meet those needs, and frankly, just to hang out and get to know each other better. So we're committed to that. We're going to start doing those regularly. Another point of discipleship, as well as outreach and fun, we want to have 2 church picnics this year. I'm staying away from any sporting events that may take place in those. I think the dates for those line up with Memorial Day and Labor Day, so mark your calendar. We have in just a few weeks coming up the Easter egg hunt, and man, what an amazing outreach to the community. It's awesome to have all these little kids in here who enjoy the candy and the eggs and the VeggieTales story and the puppets and stuff, but man, we have their parents in here who are receiving a very simplistic presentation of the gospel, so we need to be on our faces praying for fertile soil in those things. We're going to continue doing things like our Thanksgiving meal, where we invite folks to come in, whether it be Food for Thought clients or friends and family, and we're going to keep doing that. Continually looking outward, clothing, coats, school supply drives through the food bank. One thing that I really, really want to see is through our compass groups, and we have one more than we did last week. Through our compass groups, having a mindset of outreach as well, where it's not something that has to be announced from the pulpit, that it's as you guys are seeking God together, walking by the Spirit, He would show you opportunities to go out and be the light and bear the gospel. So I'm praying that these opportunities come forth. And to be as well transparent with you guys, we talked about it at our recent congregational meeting. We are a small church, and we have a big, big building that is burdensome at times to maintain and upkeep. Man, but God revealed to us, and we see these little glimpses from time to time, but man, we are within less than 3 years away from paying off the mortgage on this building. Less than 3 years. And if you would have asked us 3 years ago, we would have, Jesus, come quickly. This building is such an amazing blessing, and please don't hear disparity when I talk about this, but it is a lot to deal with. So one thing we always want to be open to, and we really focused on this week, is God, show us how to be good stewards of the money that you give us, the building that you have given us, and give us direction as we seek you as to whether, is this where you want us? And if God should at some point say, hey, it would be better stewardship for you to seek somewhere else to go, after I stop dancing around, but we do want to be honest and open to that kind of thing. Pray for that. Pray about that, because we don't want to stay here just because we've always been here, and we don't want to leave just because our spirit and our eyes conflict and we see water spots and we see broken siding and we see light bulbs out. We want to be exactly where God wants us to be, being stewards of what he has given us. So we would covet your prayers in that as well. So our mission this year, church, should you choose to accept it, and I pray that you do, is to grow to be a godly, Christ-centered body of believers, equipped with and grounded in truth, walking in faith by the Spirit, working powerfully in the gifts the Father has bestowed upon us, exemplifying the gospel to the communities in which we are planted, motivated to sow the seeds of salvation. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you. I thank you that you are good and you have good plans for your church and for your people. Lord Jesus, you died to purchase this church. God, help us honor that sacrifice. Father, we see the direction you're calling us in, Lord, and I pray that each and every one of us would be on our faces seeking your Spirit as to how to walk that out. Father, may we not forsake our responsibility to press in, to be grounded in truth, to guard our doctrine. God, but at the same time, let us understand the freedom that we have been given through the blood of Jesus Christ. We're no longer under the law, but under grace. And it's for liberty that we've been set free. God, help us find that place securely between fear and frivolity, Lord. May we honor you with our seeking. May we honor you with the ministry of the gifts you've entrusted us with, Lord. Father, I pray that my brothers and sisters, Lord, that they would take up this mantle of discipleship, that they would understand the calling that each one of us has to go and make disciples. Father, lead and guide us, Lord. Father, we trust you alone. Father, I pray that this vision would impact everything that we do, everything that we say, the way that we love one another, serve and minister one another, Lord. God, and above all things, be glorified. Be glorified, Lord, in your church. It's in the name of Christ Jesus that we pray. Amen.